episode 29 of
Brutal Battle.
Thank you very much. That is our guest.
Brutal Battle.
That's right. So we have a guest with us this evening. This is Sean Creel.
Hello.
I did say the last name right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean Creel. He is from Brewkeep, and you will all learn in more depth what Brewkeep is in just a little bit. A few housekeeping things off the bat. Technology-wise for the podcast, just wanted to let everyone know we're going to be updating the website just a little bit. I'm finally active on Twitter, so you can catch up with me, Carlin at Brutal Battle. Kyle is not active on Twitter because he hates technology.
I don't hate technology. I just have no use for Twitter.
He has no use for Twitter.
I have no use for that.
So you can follow me, though. And I will say that since we've become active on Twitter, one brewery has been the one to step up and follow us, which is Schlafly, St. Louis Brewing. So big ups
stuff.
To them.
Yay, Schlafly.
Thank you, Schlafly.
They have a beer I like.
Their Tasmanian IPA. I had you try that, and you enjoy it.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
You
they
did.
Have a good coffee.
It is awesome.
They have a good
the
coffee
New Zealand
stuff.
Hops in there?
Do they have a good coffee?
Yeah.
Yes. We had it on the show. It was pretty solid.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, we're doing that. Also, we're on Stitcher. Don't forget that. We're on iTunes as well. We have an email address where you can send anything you need, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. I'm trying to think if I missed anything else. No, I think that's probably about it. We don't have Facebook yet. Eventually I'll probably make a Facebook page, but we're moving slowly. Oh yes, we're also on daggerpress.com, a local newspaper, online newspaper only, and our logo is being worked on at the moment.
Yes, very excited about that. We chose a logo.
In the works.
We just have an artist drawing it out for us.
Working on it. It's going to take a little bit of time.
Picasso.
And also we have finally reached enough rating and reviews on iTunes so people can publicly see that we have 5 stars.
Yeah.
So, pretty we don't actually have 5 stars, but it rounds up. We're in the States. So, it rounds up, you know? So anyway, that being said, we're joined here with a man with a plan. Sean Creel, you are the founder, I take it.
Co-founder, yeah.
Co-founder of Brewkeep, which is a website, and I will go ahead and hand it over to Sean. Tell us what you want to tell us about Brewkeep as just a little teaser.
Yeah, sure. So, like you said, I'm Sean, co-founder of Brewkeep. And basically, we are a site that's doing personalized beer recommendations. We're changing the way that people buy beer through education and personalized recommendations. A point that you guys have brought up in your podcast in the past is that you both have different palates, so that's why you rate different beers different things. For the most part, it seems like you guys are pretty much in line, but there are some differences along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, throughout the country, people have palates all over the place.
Yeah.
And craft beer, as varied as it is, it's hard to necessarily find a beer that you're going to like if you're new getting into the scene. Where do you start? There's so many options. So we're trying to help people out with that and show them the way.
So is it going to be a situation where someone can go on and just kind of be like, I like one microbrew. Like, I like Sam Adams Boston Lager. And they can type in, like, Sam Adams Boston Lager, and it'll come up with things that are similar?
Yeah, so, obviously the more information that we get about you, the more beers that you rate on our site, we'll be able to provide better recommendations. But it can start with just one beer. So if you like the Sam Adams Boston Lager, we'll take... I guess the difference between us and other sites is that we actually take the flavor characteristics that are in that beer. So there's some other competitors that are out there right now, but they're going to look more at, well, if you like that beer and 20 other people like that beer as well...
Then that's
for you. What's the most common beer that all of those other 20 people like?
Yeah.
And then they're going to recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
We actually look at the flavors that are in the beer. So, what types of malts flavors are coming through? How hoppy is it? How sweet is it? And what are actually the flavoring characteristics that are coming through as well? We also look at the aroma of the beer, the appearance of it. And then, like I said, the sweetness, bitterness, sour, salty. There are definitely some salty beers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. We've drank quite a few, actually.
Yeah, some salty beers.
Yeah,
I like Well, Kyle and I have talked about it, like porters that have smoked porters that have mm-hmm. a nice kind of like salty undertone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Or like mm-hmm. a nice smoked beer, like the
Rausch beer.
Acht Schlenkerlenrausch beer. Yeah, that one. It has a saltiness to it because it kind of has like a smoky.
It's like liquid beef jerky.
But yeah, I mean, and that's interesting. So basically, it's like the competitors kind of go more with like a group think. Approach,
yeah, it's I mean,
and this is more individualized.
The way we look at it is the competitors are really taking a macro brewery's approach to recommending micro beers. They're looking for the least common or the most common denominator among all of the drinkers out mm-hmm. there, which is the same thing the macros do. They bring down the flavor profile to a least offensive beer as possible, and that's really all these other recommendations are doing.
Makes sense.
I won't call the competitor out by name, but what really got me started on this project, building this company, is I was using one of the other sites out there.
You can talk about them. I mean, we've talked about Pintly and Untapped, and
I love Untapped, but
it was
that doesn't make recommendations.
It wasn't Untapped. But the other one, yeah, it might have been.
I've never used Untapped. I used Pintly, and I never seem to recommend the same crap over and over and over again.
The first beer that I rated on there was Dogfish 120 Minute,
mm-hmm.
and I gave it the highest score I could give it, and its first recommendation off of that was Budweiser. Because I guess that was the most common beer that all of the people that liked 120 mm-hmm. Minute also happened to rate that fairly decent.
I think there's a glitch in the matrix.
Yes. So that doesn't... That doesn't play
Those
well.
Beers are so similar, though. I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, Budweiser tastes just like 120.
You can just, if you boil it down a few times, the Budweiser,
yeah.
you
can... Yeah, yeah. While there's a little bit of a lull in the talk, Sean was gracious enough to bring us a warm-up beer, and he has informed us that this is a homebrew that all the people involved with Brewkeep collaborated on.
Yeah, we got together for a meeting one day and a cookout. We had some company stuff to cover, and so we decided to do a little brew as well. This one, I don't know if you want me to tell you what's in it first. You want to taste it first?
Let's taste it first.
Let's see if we can pick it apart.
It smells really interesting.
It smells interesting. It's got a nice citrusy note on the aroma.
I get like... They're going to think I'm crazy, but, like, berries, and it's not citrus as much. I get, like, a...
Well, the funny thing is...
Like a raspberry or blackberry or something.
It's, like
that.
It's dark in coloration, not, like, extremely dark, but what I would view as kind of, like, what I've seen lately, like, this coloration, is, like a dark saison, in a sense.
Okay.
I was thinking
kind
like
of muddy-ish
like a quad
looking.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a quad a little bit, too, in the coloration. You know, it's, like, a brownish...
it's very muddy.
But the aroma does not match what you would think just looking at the coloration.
We're trying to break some stereotypes when we made this brew. You know, when we were coming up with the recipe for it.
It's very sweet.
You know, there are a couple other things I was looking at online about people talking about how to pick beer, and they were saying, "Oh, well, is it a dark beer or is it a light beer?" And it's, well, you know, that really doesn't matter all that much when it comes to smelling and tasting the beer.
Yeah, that's true.
So people were trying
to. I don't think that really applies to our product. We're like, oh, look at the color. This is gonna suck. But yeah, it's interesting. I like it.
I'm getting a lot of like different citrusy notes on it.
Okay.
I'm getting a little mango. I'm getting a little peach. I'm getting a little
peach.
Orange.
Huh. Yeah, I see peach. Okay.
I'm getting all of those, and I'm getting a very, very, very faint banana-y-ness,
mm-hmm.
but it's not pronounced like most beers that have banana scent.
I'm getting like a. A little bit of pomegranate.
I could see that. I could see a tad bit of pomegranate.
Yeah.
Well, this is making me thirsty, so I'm going to jump into it.
Cheers, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
Chink.
You're almost
We're going to cheers.
Almost,
you can't really hear it.
Wow. That did not taste like I was expecting.
No, I mean, this is... There's confusion from appearance to smell to flavor.
We
almost tastes like a sour. Like there's a little bit of sour notes in there. Like,
so it wasn't intended
dry.
To be a sour beer.
Yeah,
but it is now. Yeah.
It is. I don't know what plums look like, and that's what I was supposed to buy at the grocery store. So I ended up with tangerines.
Tangerines.
Okay, it all makes sense now.
That's probably what I was getting, the pomegranate. It's probably more like a tangerine.
So what happens is when we put it all the tangerines into the secondary fermenter to try and get, you know, some of the flavor and save some of the aroma so it doesn't all go away in the primary fermentation as it's all bubbling out. But what happens is the yeast goes through and eats all the sugar out of the fruit. It does almost a second fermentation inside the bottle there. And so what it ends up leaving is the tart fruit from the tangerine left over. If we had the plum, it probably wouldn't have been as much as noticeable there. Still had some of that fruit flavors. But
this is interesting.
But
like
definitely
it.
Breaks stereotypes. So it's not, like you said, it's not what
very dry. And it's got a nice, like, toasty back end to it, which I like.
Speak up, Kyle.
This is how I'm... We did the volume test.
Okay,
this is how I was talking.
So I'll say that I am not big on sours, but that being said, this isn't an aggressive sour type, so I'm down with it. I don't think it's... You said it was okay to bash. I don't think it's an outstanding beer. No. It's not bad, though.
It's confused.
I view this as kind of like a session IPA, in a sense. The way I view session IPAs. It's got good flavor, but it's really like... not what... If I want like a full-on IPA, it's not what I'm going to go for.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But it's good for going like a little bit lower on the flavor or the mouthfeel and still having flavor that's pleasing.
Right. Yeah, we went with a lot of late hop additions and, you know, hops in the secondary fermenter as well for dry hopping to get a lot more of that flavor and the aroma coming out without all the bitterness. We also put a little bit of wheat in there to kind of lighten the body of it. Make it an easy drinking summer beer.
It's very smooth
and very creamy, too. Very creamy.
I do think that this is a kind of beer that you could definitely do when you're out and it's hot outside and you want some flavor.
Yeah.
Instead of reaching for some crap like a Kolsch or Pilsner.
I can see
not
this.
That those are all bad, but they're just not my style.
Out on the boat, I can see definitely drinking a sixer of this. Real nice. I like it. I'm a fan, man.
I do enjoy it, and I'm actually getting a lot of pineapple-y flavor on it right now.
The hops that we used were Simcoe, there's a lot of tropical fruits that'll come through from those a lot.
And that's actually something I wanted to bring up about the Brewkeep site, and that's that I looked at it already, and you have hop stuff on there, just like the categorization of aromas and flavors you get from different hops, even discontinued ones, which is awesome. If it's okay with you, we're going to use that on future episodes.
Oh, yeah,
to
absolutely.
Dispense hop knowledge to people kind of one by one. Just go over each hop and kind of say, this is what this hop is like.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with us. You know, right now we just have a blog up there and then some educational stuff. Our actual app is going to be launching over Labor Day weekend.
Cool.
So the last weekend in August. Until then, you know, we're continuing. Every week we put up a blog. We're trying to build out some more guides, building a style guide right now. We got some stuff up there on the brewing process and different ingredients that are used as well. The hop guide's definitely been our most popular piece so far.
I thought it was really cool.
You monitor hits and whatnot just to see what you're putting out as more.
Yeah, just to see what's gaining traffic. And so I think there's a lot of homebrewers that are using that right now.
Awesome. Good.
We got a couple throwbacks from breweries about it as well.
Breweries you care to mention?
Those are like
you know,
two public enemies on this podcast. That's mainly just me.
I've heard your opinions on.
I will say this, going back to the hop stuff, when I found that on the website, I was like, awesome, I could use this, and I've kind of been wanting to educate myself about these different hops. But what impressed me even further than just having that big list and all that info was that you had the discontinued hops on there.
Yeah,
that is just taking it to the nth degree, which, you know, beer completists would really appreciate.
We wanted to do that. You know, our whole thing is educating people about the beer, so we want them to understand not only what there is now, but the history that was behind it, and you know how we got to this point. So we definitely wanted to include those as well.
I am a fan of the sour notes.
Yeah, you know, this is a really How much of this did you guys brew? This is a good beer.
We brewed about 5 gallons, so we got about 2 cases out of it.
And you know what?
So, if you make more, let us know.
Those flagship weird recipes and dishes and stuff always happen when someone accidentally puts something in the recipe or mistakes something with something else. So you're onto something, you know? The plum tangerine thing might have been your hook.
I had just like the smallest drip. I had the smallest drip left.
Taste my head.
I had the smallest drip left in my cup because I forgot to save some for Rebecca. And she's down here giving us our mystery beers, and I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can have this little." And she just like knocked it back and looked at me like, "I can't even taste anything out of that." There wasn't anything there. Oops. I mean, that speaks to how good it actually was. I mean, the more I kept sipping,
glad you guys enjoy it.
It was so good.
Yeah,
it was really good. Not just saying that because you're on here, because I did bash it just a little bit ago. is there any? A question I had for you on going back to Brewkeep. When the app drops, what's the cost on the app going to be for people to download?
The app itself is actually it's going to be free. We want it to be as open as possible.
Awesome.
You know, to start off, it's going to be focus completely on the recommendations, and as we build it out, we kind of want to build a network out of it as well, so you can share the beers that you enjoy with your friends and everything. But the app will always be free. We want it to be open to as many people as possible. So.
Well, that's how you're really going to gain popularity, honestly, at least in the beginning, because you know things that are free, people are just going to try them whether they're that interested or not.
And
I mean,
can't get cheaper than free.
And that's it. You know, we just hope that the recommendations speak for themselves and people try it and enjoy it. You know, when we launch, our plan is to go around to a couple different bars in the area. We're actually, the other thing is, I guess, our focus is going to be on the Northern Virginia, D.C., and Baltimore areas. I guess the Mid-Atlantic region as a whole, but really focus on those two general cities. So we're going to be going around to a couple different, the bigger beer bars when we first launch, and different festivals and stuff.
Should launch at Nexus.
Yeah, that's definitely, I was in there the other day talking to one of the brewers there.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sorry, not the brewers, the bartenders. And so we're going to drop off some coasters there and go in and try and talk to
some people.
You're
going to have, like, events and stuff? Yeah, I could be like a Brewkeep roadie, you know? Groupie or whatever, you know?
Yeah, man. Oh, that's awesome. And you guys taste a lot of beers, obviously. Turner had kind of turned us on to that he's involved in doing a lot of beer tasting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an estimate on how many beers you guys have tried for this at this point?
At this point, we have tasted somewhere around 600 to 650 different beers.
Nice.
We've been doing it for about a little over a year now. So we've been cranking them out.
Hey, if you guys want any help, I am offering myself up because I am fast approaching 1,000 beers in my lifetime.
That's pretty impressive.
I think I'm 38 away at the moment.
Wow.
So,
I want to be there for your 1,000th.
You want to be there for my...
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what my number 1,000 beer is going
should
to be.
Should be. Save, make
I just
it want to
be
special.
There so I can point and laugh that you think this is some kind of life achievement. You loser. No,
hey, you know what?
I'm
screw
just,
you, Kyle, because this is big to me.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've been drinking micros for 8 years now, so...
Okay.
In 8 years to get 1,000, that's a little more than 100 a year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially seeing that I started out slow.
True.
But... I have, like, some regrets, because I look back now, and I'm like, when I started out, I wasn't into things like IPAs, and actually, I wasn't into a whole lot. I started off, you know, real easy, like in wheats and brown ales and stuff like that, and I look back, and back when I started out is when things like Three Floyds and Founders were available in Maryland, and then they pulled out since I've gotten into their styles of beer. And then I'm like, now, like, oh my god, I missed out on Three Floyds and Founders.
Founders is working to get back in here. I think they
I've
had
heard.
A little bit of a hiccup with a couple of the distributors around here, but they're still trying to get in the area. I think Bell's is coming too.
Oh. Yeah, and this just in, I just found out today via Twitter because I'm on there, Carlin at Brutal Battle. I found out that Deschutes, out of the, I think they're out of Oregon, They are going to hit the East Coast finally.
Really?
Real soon. They're going to be in the Philadelphia region.
Oh, wow.
So that's not far from us, so I'm hoping they'll kind of leap down into Maryland.
I wonder if they're hitching a ride with Russian River, because I know they've got a distributor.
Oh, Russian River's going to come out.
Well, they have one distributor, I think, that they work with out in Philadelphia, so there's a few bars up there.
Consecrations.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's my favorite. That's my...
Mecca.
Yeah. We had one.
In case people haven't figured out at this point, the beer knife fight that we had talked about before on our last episode, we're putting it off for the time being. This episode is about Brewkeep, as you can tell. The next episode is our Decasode, which will do something very special. It'll be a special tournament. We'll just tell you that much right now. And then in episode 31 is where we'll start the beer knife fight officially.
Yes. On God.
Sounds safe.
The Kyles are ready. The Kyles are ready.
Oh, yeah. Throw down.
So not only are we excited that Sean's here because he's been able to tell us about Brewkeep, and he brought us a warm-up beer,
but
he also brought us the mystery beers, which
and
we have in front of us.
Just an aside for me, and this is a big thing for me, he showed up wearing the exact same socks I'm wearing. I mean, I'm talking like brown Argyle.
Exactly.
And they're the exact same socks.
And they're not, like, common socks. They're not gold toe socks or anything like that.
It's so insane that we're wearing the exact same socks.
Great beer pal.
What are the chances of that happening?
I don't know.
We should play the lottery or something. So, anyway, it's just...
Did you have anything else you want to throw out there on Brewkeep?
I mean, I guess the difference between us, like I said, is that we're actually looking at the flavor characteristics. You know, we don't think there really is a best beer. There's some other sites out there that put out lists of top 100 beers or whatever. We think that there's different beers for different palates, you know.
Subjective.
So we're trying to find the best beer for each person in each palate. It's our motto is your palate, your beer.
That's a noble goal.
And so kind of along those same lines, the mystery beers here tonight, I thought, what better way to prove our merit than to put our algorithm to the test? So I went through and I picked out a bunch of the beers that you guys have tasted so far in your ratings, plugged them in, created profiles for you guys.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
So one of these beers is for each
us?
Of you. So.
Oh, wow.
So
one of these is supposed to basically be tailored to me. And
one's Carlin beer, one's Kyle beer.
Well, I'm going
to
guess
I don't know if you'll, each of you will like both of them or you'll hate the other
hilarious.
One or not, but one of them should
really
be tailored
cool.
to each of you.
Look
so.
At him. He's giggling.
I'm giddy. This is cool. This is very cool. I'm going to guess that A is tailored for me and B is tailored for Kyle because A is looks like an IPA from the color and B looks like a stout porter.
That's a pretty good guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I know us.
Oh,
but
gosh.
I can't, you know, like
a
I proved earlier, looks can be deceiving.
A is the hoppiest MFing thing on the planet.
That's what I hope.
From here. Gosh.
Well, let's jump into it then. Let's take a look at A, the coloration on that, which... I guess I could get some more light in this room, but we'll do that for the next
it's
episode.
It's very dark in here.
It's
like a gold?
Know,
I don't know. I can't tell if it's like a straw color.
It's
or
like
what?
An orangish gold.
Yeah, gold amber almost.
It's got a really white head on it.
Yes, and the head is super persistent. I mean, it has not gone down a bit. It's foamy
just
as MF.
Will not go anywhere.
Lacing, all that good stuff.
I like to use the Turner trick for the smell.
Smell it. Yeah, it is a good one.
The
cup it and swirl.
Oh man.
I'm getting
must.
Yeah.
It's musty. It's got a musty.
Yeah, it is
kind of
musty.
I don't want to throw out too much here because
I got
know what the beers are, so.
I'm getting a little like alfalfa-y note to it. A little bit of pininess.
I get like funky, musty kind of. Yeah, piney. I get just a hint of pineapple.
Hay. There's a little bit of like that kind of like barnyard hayish. These are all characteristics that I picked up from IPAs before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting.
Sweet. Definitely sweet.
I guess some of that's sweet, and I was trying to decide whether it was more of like the caramel from like the malt base or whether, like you said, the pineapple fruitiness.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to.
Yeah,
I do get a little bit like straight sugar in there too, not just like a fruit.
It's almost like just. There's that. I don't know. I get a lot of the hay that you were talking about too, though. And I think it might be the combination of the two mixing
it
together.
Might be.
So.
I definitely get something that's a bit of a citrusiness, but it's not like knock your nose in like it's super aggressive IPAs with like you know, Galaxy hops or I'm not educated on hops yet, so...
With so those hops that they have.
Those other hops, we'll get there.
Alright.
I'm inclined to taste.
Indeed. Ooh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet in the flavor. My initial is that I'm not huge on it. But, let me continue here.
A little on the sweeter side.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I like... This is me right here. Okay. Are you sure... This is the
Did I get it mixed
beer.
Up?
It is, and like I was saying, that kind of like hay, kind of alfalfa-iness, I'm definitely getting that in the flavor. Definitely getting that.
Flavor and aroma are very parallel. A lot of similarities there.
I'm picking up on more of the, like that caramelized malt, though, than I think we might have initially
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I am getting that. I'm getting a pininess on the flavor as
There's
well.
There's definitely a lot of pine.
Yeah,
I get
pine.
The pine for me, I kind of get like two different, you know, I get that resinous, that sappiness from the pine, and I also get a little bit of the pine needle too.
Right.
That like
that's exactly
sharp
what I was just
bite.
Thinking.
Definitely the pine needle. Which...
Chasing back to Alpine Derby and Boy Scouts.
It's taken me back to, I had actually had the Hoppy Love and Christmas by Mikkeller some years ago. It was a special beer they put out, and it was an IPA brewed with pine needles.
Oh, okay.
And you could definitely taste the pine needles in it.
I love Mikkeller. That is like a... That is a man's beer company right there.
I mean, they're pretty good.
I had my first Mikkeller this past weekend.
Which really? One?
It was...
Beer Deep Breakfast?
It was a cherry sour beer.
Really? I have not heard of
this
one.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was really, really good. It had that nice sour vinegar characteristic coming through, almost like a wine. It was nice.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, and I know that a lot of people say, like, the really good sours are very akin to a fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there yet. I know Kyle's basically there. I can appreciate it when I... It's like with, like, Pilsners and Kolsch's and things like that. It's not my thing, but when I taste it and I know that it's appropriate for the style and it's done well...
You can appreciate the quality.
I can appreciate that that's what it is.
Hey, man.
So, you know, like,
just
Victory...
Like your beer, your palate, man. Just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, exactly. Style. Respect
that's what,
people's
that's
kind of,
you know, that's what we do when we're doing the tastings. We try and approach everything with an open mind and open palate. You know, each of our tasters has a style of beer that they really are fond of. But we make them taste beers all across the spectrum because we don't want them to get pigeonholed into one style. We want them to taste everything equally and give equal representation to all the beers and all
like
the characteristics.
That. Yeah. So I think there are... beers that I would like in every style, you know. I may not have found them yet, and that's just because I don't drink a whole ton of beer, but, yeah, I like that idea.
I say very very true on that because, and I can bring this back to, I can bring it back to, you know, things like the Pilsners and the Kolsch's. You know, I have had instances where I like that kind of lighter stuff. Prime example being the Oscar Blues Mama's Little Yellow Pils. I don't like Pilsners, but that's a good Pilsner, and in the right mood, I can enjoy that. Same thing with Flying Dog's Atlantic Lager. I'm not big on lagers, but I think that lager is good, and
that's
I would
a good outside
it.
Beer to barbecue or something.
Turner's Wedding, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great because it's
too
good
many
for
of those at Turner's Wedding.
It's good for hotter weather, but it's got substantial flavor that
a lot
of lagers don't. So yeah, I mean, it's like that. Shall we move on to beer B?
The Kyle beer. Yeah, I was drinking a Dewar's on the Rocks at Turner's Wedding, and that was... After about six of those, I was having a good old time.
Well, I'll say on the coloration, you can't see through it. It's very, very dark.
Yeah.
Yet another persistent head, which I like. We usually don't get our tasting beers by the time we get around to tasting them. The head has vanished. And both of these,
much.
We still got a solid presence there. So
and
I
this
like
is
that.
Like a very tan head to it.
Yes.
Like you said, very persistent.
Creamy.
It would lead me to believe we're getting some coffee in this, most likely some chocolate.
Wow, the
but
nose just
start
talks chocolate. I
Ooh.
Get like chocolate
oh
chip
God.
Cookies.
Yeah, chocolate.
Chocolate chip cookies, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of chocolate. It's just, Nikki just made a bunch of chocolate chip cookies, so it's like exactly what I'm smelling.
Yeah, I get a lot of chocolate out of it. Are you getting any coffee? Because I'm not getting any coffee.
Let me see here. Give me one good sip.
I mean... I know I've said this on a previous episode, but this makes me think of... Like
maybe like a mocha kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't get like coffee, like smack in the face
it's
coffee.
It's
kind
of got that espresso mixed with the chocolate characters.
Yeah.
It's covered up a little bit, but...
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think
it's
of like
there.
A Terrapin beer.
I get the
like
roast.
Something like their Moohoo Stout or something.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a milk.
All right.
Although I don't get like any sort of lactic.
Not the without the sweetness coming through.
Right. I mean, I guess like milk chocolate.
I get a little bit of lactic character to it. Yeah, I think milk chocolate is definitely talking to me here.
Yeah, it's definitely like a milk chocolatey type smelling stout, and it smells really good. I will say that.
I want to put it in my face.
Okay, take it to the face.
Take it to the face.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's salty. It's immediately salty.
It is. It is salty.
It's got a little bit of that coming through.
I get a lot of coffee in the flavor.
Yeah,
you
know what?
Big time coffee in the flavor.
No, I'm getting obviously a significant maltiness. I got the saltiness, like,
okay,
boom, immediately, like, salty, which is good. I like it. And it's like a, I don't know, it's kind of like a sea saltiness. You know, there's like a difference between like an iodized salt and like a sea salt.
Yeah.
It's like a sea salt type.
More fresh, a little bit more clean. I think it's a touch thin on the body, just a touch. And I'm splitting hairs here, but just a touch thin.
You know, honestly, for a stout, I think that's kind of a good quality, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it depends on what you're looking for, but yeah. Wow. That's good. And, like, my mouth is working on different areas of this beer. It's not just a one note. It's got a lot of things going on.
There's a lot of depth to this one.
Yeah, there is a lot of depth.
A lot of times in stouts, you get kind of a roasted and a sweet chocolate coffee flavor, and that's about it. But this is... There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I get a little... And this might be playing off the salt, but a little soy sauce?
Yes.
Get that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what that kind of was for me, and you're right. It's like the saltiness mixed with a tad tinge of soury finish, and that's where you get that soy sauce. No chocolate for me. This is another one of those beers where it's kind of...
Yeah. Smells like chocolate, tastes like coffee.
Smell, yeah,
it's
definitely. I think it's in there, but they reverse the roles. Where in the smell,
definitely.
You just get a little bit of the coffee. Now you just get a little bit of the chocolate.
I'm gonna pop back to A real fast.
Is that something? Being home brewer and having experience in that field, is that something that a brewer would try to aim for? Maybe represent one characteristic in aroma versus having it subdued in the flavor.
I think it depends on the brewer. You know what you're trying to achieve. Me as a beer taster, I love smelling one thing, and as long as it's not completely off the wall, tasting something different. You know, it keeps me guessing a little bit.
Yeah,
as long as I can have some expectation of what I'm about to taste when I smell it.
Like, have you ever had Orval?
Travis, it's been a long time.
That's kind of like that beer that just is constantly changing. And I think that's a lot because of I think the brand Brettanomyces that's in that one.
Yeah, I think that one, they bottle condition that one too.
Yes.
So it's the long, you know, the more it sits, as long as it's in the right conditions, it'll continue to grow and develop over time.
Did you go back already?
Yeah, I did go back. As you can probably imagine, B makes a not as palatable.
Yeah.
Just because that's usually what happens when you go from dark to lighter.
Yeah, I mean, generally when you try to taste the beers, you want to start with the lighter beer, you go to the darker flavors afterwards.
Exactly.
So,
oh, although I will say, after I just took a sip of A and then went to B, it did enhance B just a tad bit.
Did it? Yeah, I think I got my numbers bulleted on these.
I think I know where to go.
I think so. When it came to the putting the beers into our system. So we're constantly updating our site and putting more data into our database. We have a pretty big backlog of tastings right now that we haven't gotten in there. And so I think some of our IPA entries are waiting to go in. So I think I was working with a little less information on the beers that you really enjoyed when I was putting that in there, but
that's cool. Well, like I said, if you want some help, that is my thing. I love IPAs, so I would help you out if you want some information on some IPAs.
In terms of your data entry, is it just like you just go down your characteristics and then you enter in the value? Is that kind of basically
how
it is?
Yeah, we have we basically have a tasting sheet that we go off of.
Yeah,
that sits in front of us when we do the tastings, when we do the reviews. I think you saw a couple guys in Chicago doing them. We were up there for Turner's bachelor party.
Yeah, hardcore about it. It was pretty interesting.
So we got a bunch of different categories that we look at. Some of them that are, you know, like we give a number rating. It's not so much what we think of the beer. It's the presence of that characteristic in the beer. So some of the categories, we're rating them on a number scale, how present it is. Mm-hmm. And some of them we're just rating whether it's there or whether it's not.
Whether it's there or not. Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's binary in some instances. Mm-hmm.
And then we have an algorithm that runs through, pulls all the data, comes up with the similar beers to, you know, we have a list of, for each beer, we have all the similar beers rated off of that and how close they are. You know, we have a degree of variance for each one, and that all factors into the algorithm and in
did
making the recommendation.
Contract cool. out the algorithm, or did one of you?
No, that's one of the three that co-founders is a programmer, so he's been doing that.
Nice.
So we kind of work together on the philosophy behind it, and then he actually does all the programming for it and everything.
Very cool.
I don't envy that part of it.
Yeah, no, that's boring. That's not fun to do. But the end product is exciting. So.
But the way it works, is, you know, it's just important for us to know the beers that you like as well as the beers that you don't like.
Yeah.
So if you hate a beer, we factor that in there too. We want to know about that because
well,
we then are able to pull beers out of their algorithm. So that way we can narrow down. It's not just about the style of the beer that you like. It's all the characteristics. Oh, yeah. And we can figure out within a style what flavors that you like. If you really like the English IPAs with that real earthy, you know, that kind of wet basement kind of flavor to them a little bit, you know, we can figure that out. If you really like the West Coast unbalanced, hoppy as heck. And
that's me. That's me all the way.
No,
unbalanced, just boom, hit me in the face.
Honestly, and as you're describing this, it really brings to mind, and don't take offense to this, it's just, I'm putting that out there, it reminds me of, like, the Pandora of beer.
Yeah, okay.
It's like Pandora is...
No, that's what we're going for. Actually,
qualities.
I think we put
that's
that
what
on...
says on the website.
Yeah, we have it up there. We kind of
Pandora
think
beer.
Of us as a Pandora beer. That's a great way to think about it.
Well, I also see it kind of like Netflix, too.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because Netflix asks you to rate movies, and then it kind of figures out what to recommend to you. It's very similar.
You know, when we are talking externally to potential customers, we present ourselves as the Pandora of beer.
Oh, right.
We think that's a really easy way to think of it.
I would be very observant. I am.
But as you know, internally, when we're doing internal discussions and designing things, we talk about ourselves more as the Netflix of beer. With Pandora, you're listening to that song right there at the moment. You can put the feedback right away and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
With Netflix, you are getting the movie in the mail a week later, and then you're watching it, and then you're putting in it, you're rating in, and then it's updated, so there's time constraints.
Taking a lot more time.
So, you know, if you're out at the bar drinking beers, yeah, you can kind of do it like Pandora, but if you're at the liquor store, you're going to pick up a six-pack, and you're going to take it home, you're going to drink it, you're going to put in the rating, and then you're going to, a couple days later,
sense.
You're going to be back
that's
in the
point.
Store.
So. Good point. So could I go and for my profile just put in what I hate, all Saranac, all Shipyard?
We don't want to do it that way because even though the beers that you've tasted so far from those breweries might not be in your palate range, you know, we think that there may be some, and if there aren't, then we won't recommend them to you. But we think that there may be some beers even within those breweries that you've had a lot of bad luck with that you still might like. And that's kind of the way we pitch it a little bit to breweries as well, is that you obviously have it out for Saranac right now.
Yeah,
and so you've had some beers with them that you don't like, but they make a ton of beer.
They do make a lot.
I don't even know how many varieties of beer that they have out there. There's probably something that we could find from them that you like. And
that's a good point.
And if you had been directed to that from the start, you might have a different approach to the other beers that you try from that brewery.
It's the whole
too.
Thing about blind tasting.
This is true.
Yeah, and that's true. I think it's very interesting the way you guys do this with the blind tastings. You don't
we
have any of that bias in there.
We look like idiots sometimes, but other times we really nail it. So it's like it's all part of the fun.
That being said, we're getting to the end here. We need to wrap it up. Let's give some ratings for these beers, and you can rate as well.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just going to let you give on a 10-point scale.
I know what they are, but
show.
Yeah, I guess I'll put in my rating anyway.
No, we'll average it in.
So, Kyle, what do you want for A?
A, I'm going to give a... I'm struggling between two numbers. I think I'm going to give it a...
I'm going
four.
Three. Okay.
Four.
I went three, Kyle went four. Sean, what would you say on A?
brutal battle ratings. Let's see.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you have to adjust way down, way down.
Yeah, so we do it on a 5-point scale.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's actually 6, so 0 through 5. So on that scale, I'd probably give this one a 3. On your scale, I'd probably give it a 4, maybe 4 or 5.
Okay.
Can you give it 3 on yours, which is... There's only 2 levels higher, probably be a 4. Than ours.
Well,
10-point scale.
Yeah, but you guys push... You have... It seems like, from what I've picked up, have, like, 8, 9, and 10 are unobtainable.
Yeah. yeah. True.
Kind of.
True.
So,
gotta get something to really wow you on that.
That'd be a total of a 3.67 on A, which is not... Honestly, not bad at all.
Okay.
If you listen to our previous episode, it's not bad. Okay, what would everyone say for B, Kyle?
I was also struggling with this. Between 5 and 6, I think I'm going to give it a 5, though.
Kyle goes 5. I'm going 4. And Sean?
I'd probably give this one a 5, too.
5 as well. Okay.
That's nice. It's not bad. It's not blowing me away. It's not bad, though. I would drink it.
So that's a 4.67. So...
We've talked about how we kind of look at our numbers, you know what I mean? Like, 10 or 9, what is it? I guess it would be 10. 10 should be unobtainable. That should be the best beer.
It should be...
You know, because it is the best. It should be the best.
It should probably be the beer that's not been made yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it should be the... Like,
you know, I mean,
we should stop drinking after that, because we found the beer that, you know...
And,
so,
we're still working, actually, with our algorithm. This beer is actually sweeter than... We're going to have to adjust some of the characteristics on on A.
Yeah.
I guess, should I tell you guys what they are?
I'm liking B. Oh, we'll reveal them.
Oh, okay.
I'm liking B. Right. I will say this real quick. The saltiness of B is very, very, very appealing for me.
Okay. Yeah.
I love the saltiness of B. That just keeps bringing me back to taking more sips. I love it. What's kind of getting me down about A a little bit is the pininess, alfalfa-y flavor is a little overpowering. But that being said, let's go ahead and reveal what these beers are.
Yes.
We go with the lower one. Neither beer, obviously... threatening the current Master Grover Lord, which is Bear Republic's
Racer
5.
Go speed!
So A, with a 3.67, is... Rampant Imperial IPA by New Belgium.
I
will say this. Doesn't surprise me that I'm not huge on it, because I'm typically not a New Belgium fan.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of their beers tend to... Whatever style they are, they're on the kind of wimpier end of that style. Like their Ranger IPA is not a strong IPA. It's very much subdued in the flavor. Not to say it's a bad IPA. I think it's good for what level they're trying to hit.
Yeah.
You know, these are people who are probably trying to really get into IPAs.
They're a big brewery. They're one of the largest breweries in the country. And so they toe that line where they have to make beers that are very appealing to a large-scale audience.
Yeah.
Have you guys had any of the big beers, the bombers that they make?
We've had. I mean,
like
we've said good words. I love Kick. I think Kick was fantastic.
I thought Kick was very
Kick
good.
Kick was great. I can't wait for that to come back around.
I love their Lips of Faith series.
I've heard great things like their...
Wasn't Kick Lips of
Faith? Yeah. It's part of that series.
I've tasted them all. Like,
they do some that they bring back every year. I'm not sure if they're bringing back Kick or not, but like La Folie, they bring back.
La Folie is ranked on like one of the top 50 best beers.
It's really good. I get a bottle of that every year. Let it sit and have it at the end of the year. But they also every month they come out with a new beer. It's usually a one-time release, and that's it. And so it's get it while you can. Some of them are kind of wacky, and some of them are, you know, it depends. And the whole thing comes back to it depends on your palate.
I would say the really good thing about this beer is it's 8.5% alcohol, and you would swear it's a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not realize that.
I didn't pick up on that.
I thought it was maybe about 6.5, maybe
6, 7. Something like that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So that being wrapped up, let's get to B. B would be basically the winner for this episode, 4.67, which is pretty good. That's almost a 5.
That's not bad.
Which is pretty damn good for us.
Not bad.
So B is, Gonzo Imperial Porter by Flying Dog.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I like it, but I'm not, you know.
Crazy about it.
Balls crazy about it, yeah.
Let me tell you this. I have one of these oak barrel aged in my cellar.
That's interesting you mentioned
that. It's awesome.
I was actually, the beer that I was trying to get for you was the Oak Age version of it.
Yes.
It's an amazing beer.
It is amazing.
It's everything that this one has, plus it's just got this wonderful...
It's got the oaky vanilla.
Yeah.
Oh, just rounds it out.
Really, really good.
It's like taking sandpaper to the beer and just smoothing it all the way around. It's beautiful. We'll have it as one of like our Decasode beers or something, and maybe we'll have you back for that Decasode.
All right. All
and
right.
Maybe Turner, too, if
yeah.
he's around.
We
I
have
know
to,
he's going to be moving.
Maybe we can Skype him in here. I don't
yeah,
know
we could. We could. Once we get technologically savvy enough for that one. But yeah, Gonzo Imperial Porter, I think it is also important to note on this one, 9.2% alcohol, which
wow.
you definitely cannot tell.
No, not at all.
But
that's why I'm kind of...
Kudos on the saltiness, Flying Dog, yes. because that saltiness, it's not offensive, it's not inappropriate, it's awesome in this.
I'm glad you guys didn't crush our
uh-uh.
guest beers here tonight.
No,
we,
no, no. And
homebrew was good.
No, we.
It was all good. I said my piece about a. It's not a bad beer though. I mean, it's something I could drink
yeah,
again.
It's not bad.
I really, enjoyed B, even though I gave it a 4. But we've talked about how we do things around here. So, but you know what? Thank you so much. This was great. We're gonna have you, Sean, stick around for the next episode. I apologize in advance, Sean, and everyone will. We'll figure out why.
It's going to be so horrible.
So, everybody, stay tuned for the train wreck that will be our third Decasode. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.